Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, you will open our heart to understand it and speak through my mouth, Lord, to bless all of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The exhortation I'm going to give today is going to be something that I believe will bless everybody. This is something that many of us, in fact, everybody can fall into this, what we call a sin that easily beset us. Sin that easily beset us. But it's not really what many people classify as sin, but the Lord wanted us to learn something from this exhortation. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is very, very important. We need to take good care of whatever he said. Take care of the word that was chosen. That is, when God speaks, when God gives us instruction, be very careful of the choice of his words. That is what the Lord wanted us to talk about today. The choice of God's word. And the reason why this is very important, in fact, this is one of, many of us are talking about the rapture, that we are going to go and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. But one of the things we need to know about rapturing faith is what I just mentioned. The word of God, when he says it, watch carefully his choice of words. Watch carefully his choice of words. And I'm going to give you an example. Why do you think this is important? Majorly it's because we human beings, we are so used to many things. Take for example, let me give you an example. Say, I call somebody, let's say my son. Let's say my son. I say, you see all this trash? We want to burn it. Take all these bags of trash. Take it to the incinerator. Empty them down and touch it. And just burn everything. Don't save anything out of this stack of junks. And the young man say, yes, sir. Or it could be any employee, somebody that wanted to just do some hauling for you. You pack everything and say, haul this thing away and trash it. Don't save anything. And what is we individual human beings, we have the tendency of doing something. We take this trash, we start emptying it. We wanted to bunch it because the instruction of the master or whoever sent us, or our mom, our daddy, our mom, or anybody said, burn it. Don't save anything. And as we started to empty it, let's say a young man, he saw a wristwatch inside that stack. What is the tendency? Oh, well, you look at it. Is it working? Oh, it's working. He pocketed it. That is the tendency. But he forgot something. The instruction was, don't save anything. Oh, it could be a lady. You are just doing some work, yard work, and you are trying to trash all of them, and they say burn everything, but don't save anything. And you went there, and then after you are trying to burn it, you see a necklace. Wow, he says it's gold. It's a set of necklace, earring, and bands, no? And you say, wow, and you want to save it for yourself. That is the tendency of human beings. But it's very dangerous when we are talking to God. When we are talking about God, it's so dangerous. In fact, that is the examples I'm going to point to in the scriptures. Because when God gives instruction, how strongly should he say it? This is how the Lord led me to this. This is something he has been teaching us, what we call about, we wanted to be like Jesus. That is the goal of Christians. We all want to be like Jesus. And here is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Open to me for Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 29. Let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ said about himself that makes him different from every one of us. In Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 29, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He always do what please the Father." John chapter 8 verse 29. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now, for God to give you a pat in the back and say, "Yes, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased," you must be somebody that will take very cautious care of what he says, what he instructs you. You don't change it. You don't try to think you are smarter than whoever sent you on this errand. For example, this young man, I said, go and burn these things. And he heard that burn everything, don't save anything. But then he saw something that he likes, where he thinks he's smarter than the instruction, and he wanted to save that for himself. See, that is the tendency of every human being. I'm not saying a particular person does this, but we're going to see example in the Bible. We know the story of when the Israelites got to a city called Jericho. After Moses or Joshua led them to the River Jordan, and they came to Jericho, and God gave them instruction. The instruction was, attack this city of Jericho, destroy everything but the gold and the silver, or the gold, in just gold. Save only the gold for the treasure of the temple. That was the instruction. And they went, and they attacked this city, and they destroyed everything. And while one of the soldiers saw a wedge of gold, looked around, nobody, and he said, "Gee, I like this one." So he picked that one, and he saw a Babylonian garment. Wow! And he liked that too, and he picked that one for himself. And he went and hid it. Well, you will say, "Well, you know how many soldiers went to Iraq? You know what they ran into? They got to the palace of this man, what is his name? Saddam Hussein. And they saw they saw bags and bags of dollars." Well, you can tell what they're going to do with it. Well, they turned some of those in. I'm sure they turned some of those in. But you see, this is the same type of thing that this man among the Israelites saw. He saw a wedge of gold, and he said, "Gee, I like this." And nobody's around, so he picked it for himself. But the instruction. So what we are saying is that when God gives instruction, he is God. He's greater than just a king. How strongly should he say it for you to take it seriously? How strongly should he say it? And that is what we should fear God when we talk about the word of God. Let me give you another example. How strongly should the Lord say this thing for me to take it, for you to take it as very important, very serious? There is another example was King Saul. If you don't know the story, let's read a little verse, some few verses of him. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. After Saul was made king, Prophet Samuel came to him and said in verse 1 to 3, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." The prophet was going to give the king an instruction that God told the prophet, go tell the king to go do this. He said, "Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." I think that instruction was clear enough. So the tendency, like I say, is that when we human beings have instruction, we are so used to how we treat our own words. My daddy told me to go burn this thing, and yes sir, and I went and burned it, and I saw that rinse wash. Gee, why are we burning this one? I pocket it. Or my mom say, that is how we treat our own words. But don't treat God's word like that. That is the danger that sometimes Sometimes it could be deadly, sometimes it's just losing favor because God sees. Even though your mom didn't see that, your dad didn't see that, but when you're dealing with God Almighty, He sees all. You wonder why miracles are not happening. You wonder why some things you wanted, you didn't get it. Because God sees beyond what human beings can see. God can see down into your heart, down into your reins, and can even see the motive behind what you just did. And that is why the word of God, we should take it to the letter. If God said, you shall not do this, it's different from you may not do it. And I'm going to give another example because even in real life, we human beings, we sometimes don't understand the words we are choosing to use. I remember a man told me, a preacher said it on radio one time. He said, when he was in school, he was in the class and the teacher said, you all must sit down and do your own work. And after you do your own work, then you may go out and play, but you must finish your own work. And this guy said, after he finished his own work, and he went to the teacher and said, here's my own work. And he told the teacher, can I go out and play now? And the teacher said, can you? He said, he just got confused. Why did he say, can I? He said, can I go out and play? And the teacher said, can you? But you see, the difference is this. The choice of words. You know, we may say we are Africans, we don't really know English much. Even those who knew English, you have to choose your word carefully. What does can I mean? And the teacher said, yeah, can you? Can I is different from may I. So that is the choice of words that young man was remembering, that when he said that, the teacher, he was confused, that I thought he was telling us that when we finish our work, we could go. Why is he questioning me again, can I? And he said, well, the teacher now explained to him, if you are asking for permission, you say, may I. You are saying, can I mean, do I have the power to go out now? Am I able to do this? And he said, well, are you able? Can you? That's what his answer was. So that is why I'm saying, when the Lord speaks, watch the words He used. And in fact, the Bible said, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Take fast hold of it. That is, watch it carefully so that you don't miss it. And we're going to see similar examples in the Bible where many people failed God because of not watching the instruction carefully. Just like I give examples there, we have talked about the story of Achan that got something. He just, that was lost. You may say it was his loss. Yeah, but many times it was carelessness. Sometimes it's what is many of most of our problems. So let's read the story of Samuel, of Saul, in the story of Samuel. No, the instruction was clear. Destroy everything, spare nothing. And I will jump to verse 17. So they went. They won the battle. In verse 17, Samuel came back and met the king Saul. Because God already told Samuel in the night that I regretted making Saul to be king. He has forsaken me. That was what God told Samuel. Samuel wondered what has happened in the battlefield. And then Samuel came to meet Saul. And verse 17 was when Samuel was confronting Saul. You see, Saul thought he had done what God said. You see, that is the danger. Go and destroy them all. And he, yes sir, and he went to the soldiers and he went and he destroyed them all. But the people said, well, let's not destroy this one. Maybe they went and saw a ranch of cattle. Wow, these are fat cows. We've never seen this type of cows in our king. Let's keep these cows. And they forgot the instruction. So that is what we are saying. Don't forget. Take the first hold of instruction and watch those words carefully. It's what God is trying to make us to see here. And by the time Samuel confronted Saul, Saul was arguing that, I've done what you said. Here it is. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy eye, verse 17, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And look at what Saul said. Verse 20. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I brought Agag, the king of Amalek. Was that part of the instruction? The king was so far. Please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And then they have mercy. God said he should save the king. That is one of the things that God is saying. Sometimes we just take our own words, the way we deal with words of the boss or one another, and then we forget that God is greater than even the kings of the earth. And some of those small, small instructions in the scriptures, we have to take it very carefully. When we do, then we get the result that God will give to us. Let me give one example of the word that we should take carefully. Yes, in the scripture, the Bible said, flee fornication. Now, watch that word very carefully. Flee fornication. That's an instruction in the word of God. What does it mean to flee? Run away. I mean, this is danger. It's saying flee. Not something you play with and just say, oh, no. No, it's a flee fornication. So you should watch the Bible shows the word flee. It's almost like you run when you see something trying to pull you into that type of sin. So that is what I mean by don't play. And here is an example, which I'm going to get to, is the story of Genesis. Because when God gives the word, if you change it a little, it may mean not that serious. Not so. If you change the verb, it can connote that it's not that serious. Not so. The same way, if you change it to something else, it may look as if, oh, is that serious? And then somebody say, look, I didn't die. And it looked like they just disproved that. So very important, but don't change the word. And here's an example. There's the Bible verse that tells us that in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, it said, the word of God is pure. The word of God is pure. But it said, don't add anything to it. Don't add anything to it. In fact, don't change it, is the word, what I mean. Don't add anything. He said, lest he reprove thee, and you will become like a liar. That's the story of Genesis chapter 3, where God told Adam in verse 2 and 3, in Genesis chapter 2, that thou shalt not eat thereof. And let me read it to you so that we know what we are saying here. I'll come back to the story of Saul right in a moment, because we need to summarize that one. In Genesis chapter 2, this is the instruction given to mankind, to Adam, which we believe that he passed down to Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now watch those words carefully. Here is chapter 3, when the devil came to tempt Eve. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Or verse 2 to 3. Said the serpent was more subtle. That is the devil. Everything we are talking about, most of the time, the devil is the one that's going to initiate the disobedience. Because when God is talking, we are talking about obeying God to the letter. But the enemy will try to make you disobey. And it's very easy for him to, if he comes to you and says, don't do it. Everybody have common sense to say, I will not do it. I will do what God says. But he will try to make it come in a subtle way. And that is what we see in that story of Eve. See, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he lumped everything together. Did God say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, she just added touching it to that instruction, which we didn't see in chapter 2, verse 17. So she said, neither shall you touch it. All the devil has to do is say, well, I touched it, I didn't die. Look at me. See what I mean? So the very important is that watch the word of God carefully and don't add to it. We know the rest of the story. And what I said is, some of these things, missing the instruction, can be as deadly as falling down dead. It could also be as look like nothing happened, but the man just lost favor with God. But what are we to be? We want to be like Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our goal. We want to be like Jesus Christ. We can give so many examples of men that failed one way or the other. Let me give you another one. There is a prophet in the Bible called Balaam. If you don't know the story of Balaam, open to Numbers chapter 22. The book of Numbers chapter 22. In verse 12 there, we see this prophet, he was called a prophet, Balaam. During the days of Moses, when they were coming from Israel, he was not one of the Egyptians, one of the Israelites. He was in the land of Moab. But they recognized him that he also has some power, that when he cursed anything, that thing dies. If he blesses anybody, blessings come upon the person. So the king of Moab knew about him. But now comes the Egypt Israelites coming out of Egypt in drove, and they were dangerous to the Moabites. So this king of Moab said, let me call for this our prophet here to come and help us curse this bunch of people that are coming from Egypt so that they will just die away. So he came and he sent his officers to this prophet. Let's read Number chapter 22. And then the prophet said, okay, well, I don't know about these people, but let me ask the Lord, which is the right thing to do. So he wanted to ask the Lord in verse 12. Numbers chapter 22, verse 12. Let me read from verse 10. So the prophet, the king came and sent some people to Balaam. And verse 11, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And he was talking to the Lord in the dream, in a vision, as God visited him. And God told him, verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, watch those words carefully. That's all we're trying to say. Watch the words that the Lord used. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, see what Balaam said in the morning. And Balaam in verse 13 rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. Does that mean the same thing? You have to watch the word carefully. This is what I was reading, and the Lord shined some light and said, wait a minute, what does that mean? The Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. Let's say your son comes to you and says, daddy, they say something of my friends wanted us to go to a place over there, and you just knew what was in that place, and you said, don't go with them. Or don't go to that place. There's danger in that place. And your son went and said, well, daddy didn't allow me to go with you guys. Is it going with these guys or going to that place? Two different things. Is it going with these guys or going to that place? Two different things. But sometimes when we want to explain, we may not take the instruction carefully and we change it to, it doesn't want me to go with you guys. Is that what God is saying? Or don't go to that place? That is what I'm trying to say. If we watch the word carefully, we see sometimes we misinterpret. So he told the young man, he told this guy, he said, the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. Which is not the same thing. So, okay. So God said, okay, I'll let you go with them. If that's what you say, I said. And he went with them the second time they came back. But the angel of the Lord God went and stood in the way. See, that is what I'm trying to say. We have to watch those instructions carefully and be careful not to miss it. Here is the story of Moses. We know this story about Moses in Numbers chapter 20, just some two chapters before this. Was Moses the great man that we all know how God used him mightily? So God is no respecter of persons, even for great people that were so close to him, or we common people that are far away. If we want to move close, we want to be like Jesus, we want to be like Jesus. He is the perfect example we want to be like. And he told us, I always do that which pleases my Father. Which means he must be watching every instruction carefully. In fact, he said in John chapter 5, about verse 19. He said, I can do nothing of myself. But what I see my Father do, that I do also. And that is where we are really going. And I'm summarizing this message. That is where we are going, that if the Lord comes and we all want to perform wonders, we want to perform, we want to heal the sick, make the lame to walk, make the blind to see. And when the Lord does those things in the Bible, he did specific things differently. Because this is how he saw the Father do it. Whether in a vision or a voice. If you are about to lay your hand, the Lord said, don't lay your hand upon him. Just point. You better point. You see, that is what we are talking about. It's instructions that may look like where everybody lay hand upon the people and you lay your hand. God is the one that's going to do some of those miracles. What he said has to be watched and followed to the letter. Because he is greater than the kings of the earth. Let me read this story of Balaam before we go to Solomon in a moment. Here is Moses. Here is the story of Moses in Numbers chapter 20. The people have been making Moses angry, and this time there was no water for them. Numbers chapter 20. And they have been grumbling to Moses, what are we going to drink? And da da da. Verse 1 and 2 said, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. Verse 2. There was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And people showed with Moses and says, woe God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? So you can say they have been complaining, they have too many aggravation for Moses. Verse 8. Moses cried unto the Lord in verse 7. The Lord spake unto Moses this time, said, verse 8, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Well, that is the instruction. Now, if you know what Moses did, was just didn't pay too much attention to those word-by-word instructions. Every other one, he has been doing it fine. But this time, the people can make you be aggravated. That was what King Saul said. He said, but the people wanted this. So he was the king, so he yielded to them. The people can make you be aggravated. Of course, in fact, the devil can make you be aggravated using the people. But this time, the Bible said, they provoked him until he forgot what God said. And this is what he did. Moses, the great one, in verse 10. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Well, that's not what God says, you see. Anyway, but what he did was in verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. The water came out, of course. You may say, well, at least I've got the water, but God was not well pleased. Look at verse 12.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.